This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Galatians with final warnings and benediction. Then we launch into 1 Peter with intro, born anew to a living hope as obedient children, and the precious blood of Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the
skinneth like grass, the hills are like grass. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language.
A reading from Mark chapter 16. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dear friends in Christ, in 1977, a generational movie classic was released that amazed and thrilled audiences worldwide, Star Wars. Hoping and assuming most of you have heard of it. Otherwise, there's a lot that's not going to make sense. But Star Wars, A New Hope, the first of a trilogy of action-packed movies that had amazing special effects in space with captivating characters and those amazing lightsabers and unexpected plot turn after plot turn, and was followed up in 1980 and 1982 by The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, respectively. And these movies were blockbusters, and they were in a day when movies didn't go straight to video or streaming services, so when they weren't in theaters, you didn't get to see them until they came back, and they would replay them in theaters several times in the early to mid-1980s. It always drew big crowds of repeat fans and new generations of fans catching Star Wars for the first time. And then the dark days came. In 1997, George Lucas allowed the movies to be re-released in a special edition format. The classic movies were altered with new CGI technology being used, technology that hadn't been available 20 years prior. And they added new scenes and new characters in the background and bigger ship battle scenes and, more importantly, more stormtroopers. More stormtroopers were added by CGI, helplessly firing their lasers and still never hitting anything. And George Lucas did this in his words to align the original trilogy with the new trilogy that was being released to make them appear visually and audibly similar. And it was awful. Many of the scenes looked flat and overdone. And to make matters worse, Lucas insisted that these special editions were all that could be aired, that all that could be sold, all that could be seen, and soon the original editions had faded away and could no longer be found anywhere, and a whole generation arose knowing only the special edition of the original Star Wars trilogy. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Indulge me, if you will, in another parable. This one comes from the adorable 5-year-old daughter of one of my colleagues. All right. Now I'm here this week teaching mission communication to missiology doctoral students. And I'm taking some risks here to prove a point. And also, if you think missiologists are a little bit weird, I'm likely to confirm your suspicions, okay? But I'm going to ask that everybody here in Kramer Chapel, everybody watching online, that you'll participate if you're able to participate in this parable with me, okay? You ready? Knock, knock. We'll try it again to make sure everybody gets a chance, okay? Knock, knock. Bob the interrupting cow. Moo. Okay. Now that works, right, because of the abrupt ending, right? Like if I continued by explaining, see, the reason I didn't let you finish is because the cow interrupts, right? It's not like I would be wrong. It's not wrong. It's just flat and overdone. It kind of ruins the rhetoric a little bit. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The text that we just read a little while ago here is from Mark 16, 9 to 20, often referred to in theological circles as the long ending of Mark. And I'm calling these verses Mark Special Edition. I'm calling them Mark Special Edition, and unlike other textual variants that you'll encounter reading through the Bible, even if you're not theologically trained and astute, you could be reading through John chapter 5, for example, and you'll barely notice that you read verse 3, and then next is verse 5. You actually kind of have to be really paying close attention, and then you can dip down and see that there's a footnote telling you why verse 4 isn't there, what it says, and why it's not in the text that you're reading now. But not this thing. In almost every published English version, these verses, Mark 16, 9 to 20, are clearly bracketed off with a large note in line with the text telling the reader that that these may not be part of Mark, the original edition, that they are Mark, the special edition. They aren't part of the original release. And then you have to read them, I guess, with that in mind. And so stark is the division, and so strong now are the opinions that have arisen about this over the centuries. One need look no further than to the recent second volume of the Mark commentary released by Concordia Publishing House. Does anybody know where I'm going with this? Where it clearly says on the dust jacket, Dr. Vels only went through verse 8, and the series editor, Chris Mitchell, picked up the long ending. So I wasn't in the room when this decision was made about how this was all going to work out. So I'm just picturing something like this, like, hey, guys, I'm not doing anything more than verse 8, okay? I'll give you a nice excursus with a number of pithy statements in bold font explaining why the gospel ends here. And Chris says, but Jim, the church has had access to the longer ending for some time. We can't just ignore it in the commentary. Well, I'm not doing it. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I can do it. Well, you make sure it's clear on the cover that I only went to verse 8 and you did the rest. So not in all seriousness. What's going on with the special edition of Mark? How did we get this ending? It's all kinds of opinions and thoughts, a ton of analysis on the style. Did Mark write this and edit later? Did somebody else, wanting to deal with some of the ambiguity of the abrupt ending at verse 8, pull from other sources and kind of put it together? Nobody knows for sure. What we do know, fairly well documented, the early church father Eusebius was tasked by Emperor Constantine assembling copies of sacred scriptures for new churches in Constantinople in the early 4th century AD. And he offers in his writing that exists today evidence that up to that time, the majority of New Testament manuscripts ended with the statement regarding the women, for they were afraid. In other words, ending at Mark 16, 8. But the so-called long ending, what we now know as Mark 16, 9 to 20, was known to him. And somehow, over subsequent centuries, it seemed to have achieved total dominance as the conclusion of the second gospel in every text published, thus also appearing in the English text of the King James Version. And the original edition faded from existence and was no longer available until more recent archaeological work and criticism restored tangible evidence indicating that the earliest manuscripts indeed seem to have ended with the abrupt and dramatic and, in my opinion, rhetorically pleasing ending at verse 8. It all honestly really fits with Mark's composition, tenor, and pace of the gospel. But these verses have been received to us, and every good and gift from the Lord should be appreciated. What should these verses, should we be reluctant to read them or preach on them? I'd argue that they contain nothing that isn't already covered in one of the other gospels, sections of the Gospels, or in the New Testament corpus, whether by direct statement or quotation, allusion, or at least demonstration. Every single thing in those verses is covered one way or another in text that hasn't been bracketed off and questioned. All right. Thus, they posed no threat to ongoing clear biblical theology by their inclusion. Maybe they're not rhetorically or stylistically very pleasing, but they're there. They're just kind of like a Star Wars special edition. Having said that, I'd like to focus on just a couple of the edifying aspects that the wording of this possibly repurposed content in this section brings into just a slightly different light than the presentations in the other gospels. So I'm only covering a couple of things here in the text, as, again, the other texts in Scripture cover a lot of the other stuff, and we will, you know, get to those eventually in other Scripture readings here. But there's something helpful in this special edition that we could find that I wanted to focus on here. First, verse 14. Verse 14, afterward he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. Again, we get a small sample of this event in John's telling, where John says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you've seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." By the way, that includes you and me today in 2024. But from this stern rebuke, right after this, the way that it's laid out in the long ending of Mark, Jesus commissions these guys immediately afterwards. Jesus doesn't keep receipts. It's in the rearview mirror. It's forgiven. And he still honors these guys with the greatest task that a human being can be given, the invitation to be part of the mission to make Jesus known everywhere. He gives it to them. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. And look, not just to all creatures, but to the whole creation. Everything, everybody, everywhere, go and proclaim. I'm giving you the best invitation you're ever going to get. And then the response, the other thing I'll just focus on briefly here, is the response of the disciples and the animating work of Jesus to confirm their message, worded thus in this part of Mark's gospel. They went out and they preached everywhere. They went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. I don't know about you, but on a daily basis, the Lord Jesus could come into my room where I'm reclining and rebuke me for my hardness of heart and for not having deeper, stronger faith, for not believing what he has promised me and told me and made real to me. He could take you to task for the smallness of your faith and the fear that we walk in when he has literally given us everything that we need. And yet he still sends us. Yet he still works with us. And while he could draw all mankind to himself in any way he chooses, he invites us to participate in his ongoing mission to make himself known throughout the world. What a privilege, what a blessing, what a gift, what a calling. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning, my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day, I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people rescue from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and gracious God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have commanded us to pray that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. Of your infinite mercy, give us true teachers and ministers of your word who truly fulfill your commands and preach nothing contrary to your holy word. May we, being warned, instructed, nurtured, comforted, and strengthened by your holy word, do these things which are well-pleasing to you and profitable for our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord,
amen.
I thank you. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.